Radio's on and I'm moving around my place. Check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face. Man, I ain't getting nowhere. Just living in a dome like this. Something happening somewhere. Maybe I just know that there is. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. Streets of this town, and they'll be carving you up all right. They say you've gotta stay hungry. Hey baby, I'm just about starving tonight. I'm dying for some action. I'm sick of sitting around here trying to write this book. I need a love reaction. Now baby, give me just one look. Can't start a fire. Sitting around crying over a broken heart. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. You can't start a fire. When about your little word for higher, even if we're just dancing in the dark, we're dancing in the dark, we're just dancing in the dark.
Oh, that was lovely. That was Anna Pancaldi's new release, a cover of the Bruce Springsteen classic Dancing in the Dark. And you can see Anna live on Friday the 8th of March at Patch in Chelmsford for International Women's Day. Book your tickets on Eventbrite. Just look for Ambitious Women in Essex Events. I'm really looking forward to seeing her. I love that.
It was very nice.
It was lovely.
I feel like I should have a cup of tea and a biscuit, though, and I don't.
Just, that's how it made me feel. I often think about, you know, well, I've seen Anna a couple of times live, and actually, you know, she's lovely to listen to recorded because she's got this beautiful melodic voice. But when you see her live, she's very engaging as a performer. Mm. And I think I've said this before, she did this really lovely thing where she came off the stage and came into the crowd and created this kind of little circle in the crowd with her guitar and sang.
Sounds very Alanis Morissette.
Acoustically. Oh, it was lovely. It was so lovely. But yeah, so she's just doing a little set as part of International Women's Day, and you just come and check her out because she's absolutely amazing. And also come along and support the programme as well, because there's lots of other things happening that night as well at Patch. But before that, we're going to start talking about sustainable making and different ways of doing things.
Yes, and actually Becky is in the studio, so maybe
here. Maybe
we could get Becky to join in this part of the conversation.
Hello,
with
Becky.
Absolutely.
Hello.
No warning.
Can we give Becky a microphone so that I can, don't know which one that one is that one.
We'll just point both of them towards you.
Well, just start talking, Becky, and then I'll work out I'll work out which one you are, which one of them is going to be. Who knows? I'm just going to put them all on. One of them might work.
Yes.
Well, if we're lucky.
So welcome to Becky, who is from Retro From Scratch. So if you aren't aware of Becky from Retro From Scratch, you are definitely not following her Instagram because she's all over it. Becky is a local bookbinder and is a complete pro at upcycling. And we'll go a little bit more into that later, but before we start, I've wrote a huge list of ways to be more sustainable when you're making things, and I thought actually this discussion you probably know a lot more than I do. So I thought we could start with just talking about what the waste hierarchy is, which sounds very, very boring.
The waste hierarchy. And not, okay, as in waste, it's rubbish, not as in the yes. hierarchy of my waste to my shoulders and my hips.
Oh, no, not that waste.
Yeah, right.
Although maybe it could apply. I don't know. we'll get to the end and we'll see if it applies to people's waistline as well.
Okay.
Have you heard of the waste hierarchy before, Becky?
I haven't.
You haven't? Okay, so maybe this is something that is just in commercial waste practice. So basically, the waste hierarchy is a triangle. And at the top of your triangle, you have don't buy. So the best thing you can do to be sustainable is to not purchase. Don't even think about it. Get it out of your mind. You're not going to buy that avocado. It's just not happening. In the second
you
realm
don't
of
need
the triangle,
the avocado.
You don't need it. You don't need it. You don't buy it. In the second half, you have reuse. So you've already bought it.
Yeah.
You've eaten your avocado. It's a little bit too late. But what can you use that middle of your avocado for? Maybe you can grow an avocado.
Oh, okay.
So you're reusing. Or you could make avocado leather.
The avocado I've just eaten.
Not in that way.
Right,
no,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Just want to be not clear. In a digestive
no,
way. I'm thinking of all of the things you leave behind of your avocado.
Right, okay.
But for example, you can make leather out of mushrooms. You can make new materials out of waste plants. So for example, orange peel, you can make a really strong type of cladding. Very boring. I could go into all of this. And then right at the bottom of the triangle, you have recycle. So if you can't make something from it, how can you get rid of it in the most sustainable and friendly way possible? So that is your waste hierarchy. So when you're talking about buying things and throwing them away and what you do with them, that's kind of the optimal. You don't buy, or you reuse, or then you recycle.
Okay.
Yes.
Makes sense.
And then there's practical ways to do this if you're an artist. And I'd be interested, Becky, if you do any or all of these things. So the first thing that I have on my list is look at your creative friends, and instead of buying new materials, are there any that you can share with them? So do you find yourself sharing with artists quite a lot?
Yeah, and I'm part of the Brentwood Bells, so we have a craft club, so we're always, when we're doing different crafts, we'll share things with each other, like, you know, I've got an embroidery hook, I have one, like, you know, and
yeah.
materials. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Becky is going to have to move on to a different microphone. For some reason, I can't get those microphones to work. So,
okay.
Could you...
We're going
just
to
so that, just so that we can hear you properly, Becky. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I will just max you up on this one. Yes, isn't it?
To do the harmony.
You don't want to hear that.
So, oh, because you just said you were part of Brentwood Bells. So
yes.
Did you get to go on the show with, what's her face?
Stacey.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I showed her my snowflake that I made.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. from recycled book paper, but yeah.
Did you go to her party thing at the end?
I did.
Yeah, was that fun?
Oh, it was brilliant. Amazing experience.
Yeah.
Really good.
And of course, all filmed for Christmas, but actually filmed in
October.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realise that. So you had to keep it a secret for quite a
long time. Yeah, it was hard.
Just like itching to tell people.
Yeah, I was getting my nails done and I nearly, you know, told the nail lady.
It's the worst,
so.
They're just trying to get all of the information off of you.
So we've got the waste hierarchy. We've got some other tips about reusing or sharing materials. What else can we do?
So another tip, can you get it on free cycle or in a skip?
Yes, love a bit of free cycle.
And you're often picking up books from the side of the road, aren't you?
Yes.
I say often, I just know this one story of you picking up books from the side of the road.
Yeah, I did go down the skip as well. Because, you know I can do something with it, and let's prevent waste. Why, you know, it seems such a shame to have books thrown away in the first place. I think people have got a real, they really love books. I can't think of the word that I'm thinking of. But,
cherish.
You know, yeah, yeah, it's not quite the word, but yes. And so the thought of taking a book, throwing it away in a bin for a start is sort of, you know, yeah, they should be on a shelf. They often end up in charity shops because people do run out of space. Mm. The thought of me cutting up a book, I think, puts the big fear in people. Mm. And I have to say, I was really frightened when I don't know what was going to happen, but I felt terrible for doing it the first time. And then actually, you know, I can see what I'm doing and how it's helping prevent waste.
You're taught from a child that a book is very important and knowledge is power. And, you know, before the times of the internet, the book was the thing that you had forever that you would always go to reference.
Yeah, definitely.
There wasn't another way of finding that information. So whichever book you had in your home, that was part of your asset as a person for information.
Yeah, and I remember at school when we were told in English Lit to write in our books, it was like, oh, that's unheard of, you know. Like,
write in the
book. Write in the book.
This is forever part of me now.
So, yeah.
Are there books that you would never cut up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously there's books that are worth, you know, historical value or a monetary value. And I collect Ladybird books. That's how it all started. So there are certain Ladybird books that would never dare touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you got a double of that book?
It would still depend on the quality.
I'm just imagining now you have a shelf of 50 of the same Ladybird.
I've got a lot of dinosaur Ladybird books, but they were all school books, old school books, and they're in terrible condition, so they're perfect for notebooks. But yes, I have got a lot.
And then I think another thing that I always see is really important when looking at sustainability as an artist, you can't find everything you need, and your friends won't always have the things that you need. So you do have to buy some stuff sometimes.
Yes.
So specialist materials. But there are ways that you can make those sustainable materials last. For example, you can buy refillable items. And again, this is something that you practically make, a refillable item. And I think I saw on your Instagram that you were remaking a Pinocchio book for a food list.
Yes, it's a meal planner, and it's my latest reel that I put on. And this lady, this will be 6 years she's now had this book. I've refilled it twice with 3-year meal planner diary pages, and she just loves it, and she just loves the whole fact that it's being recycled, but she also doesn't want to lose her cover, you know, and that's great. So
that's a treasure to her now.
Yes,
she's had it for so
yeah
long.
So it's I've just refilled it with another 3 years.
I used to find this really exciting as a child when you'd have a file of fax and you could replace it with your new pad. You know, you'd fill out your pad and then you could replace it with a new one. And that kind of got lost, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's been a long time since that was a fad.
Yeah. Oh, well, filofaxes have pretty much... I mean, they're still there. You can still get the inserts and things, can't you? But I don't know that many. I wonder whether there is a bit of a... You know, because of on the one hand you've got the kind of the excitement, but the scariness of AI, and on the other hand you've got this kind of movement away from some of that social media. And have you heard of Substack, which is a kind of an alternative to social media? So it's about not about moving image. It's not about kind of having lots of, you know, video content, reels, kind of stuff in your face. It's about writing and it's about thinking. And so there's a whole bunch of artists that are moving to Substack to kind of blog or talk about what they want to talk about in a way that's not kind of filling us with all the
commercial.
Yeah, and but I do sort of wonder whether we're going back to having things written down again rather than having everything digitally in our phones reminding us to do things, but actually having the joy of having something written and visually presented is something that I wonder whether we are going to move back more towards that as the more that technology pushes us to behave in certain ways and to remind ourselves, you know, every 10 minutes of our lives what we're supposed to be doing. The movement away from that is to go back to something that's written and beautifully and looks beautiful, because sometimes it's about having it in your home as well, isn't it? It's about that kind of the joy that it makes to actually have something visually beautiful in your home or in your bag or something that you can take out and look at and think, oh, that's lovely. That's a lovely thing in itself.
Definitely. And the whole process of writing, I think, is, you know, I do my morning pages and just 3 sides, A4, just get it all down. Could be a load of gobbledygook. But that whole thing of picking up a pen, writing onto paper, it's it's a really lovely process, and it's good for our brains as well, and to get off of screen time as well.
Well, yes, there is that as well, isn't there? Getting off screen time. We're gonna do a bit of music as well. So can we just break the chat for us a little bit of music now? I think, do you want to go for the Ramones and Pet Sematary?
Under the old double with the steeples, ancient goblins and what old knows, come at the grand light making a stand, the smell of death is on the rail. And at night when the cold wind blows, no one cares, nobody knows. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. To the sacred place, this ain't a dream, I can't escape. Smolders and fangs, they're picking up bones, spirits moaning among the tombstones. And at night when the moon is bright, someone cries something ain't right. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery.
Crazy. It makes a plan to take a step, but always it's obscene. Phoenix FM. Strictly Air Ambulance is back, and so am I, Lisa Snowden, and my fabulous co-host, TV presenter, David Whiteley. Join us and our celebrity judges, Strictly's Nadia Bichkova and Kai Widrington, as contestants and their professional dance partners compete for the Strictly Air Ambulance Glitter Ball on Saturday the 9th of March at the Brentwood Centre. All profits go to Essex and Hearts Air Ambulance, your local life-saving charity. For tickets, search Essex and Hearts Air Ambulance Strictly.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut & Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
Do you or someone you know have a drug problem?
Talk to someone that has been there.
Narcotics Anonymous is a group of recovering addicts that has found a new way to live without the use of drugs.
For a confidential chat or to find your local meeting, call 0300 999 1212 or visit our website ukna.org.
Take the first step to recovery.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
Phoenix FM.
And we're back in the studio with me, Claire, and
Natalie,
and
Becky.
Cool, and we're talking all things, recycling and upcycling. We've been talking about how to be sustainable in your craft and art projects. Mm. So what else, what other tips have you got, Natalie?
So we were just talking about filofaxes because they exist. Other things to think about when you're buying new materials, are they made of recycled paper, yeah, etc.? Are they made of recycled plastic? It's a great way to keep in the sustainable chain. Where are they coming from? And can you get the supplies locally? For example, are you getting your avocados from Peru or are you getting them from Spain? It makes a big difference in terms of carbon emissions. Not that we're buying avocados to write on.
No, but do you know what? Avocados is a big problem, though, because we're all being told that we have to eat an avocado a day. And that means we've got to ship avocados in from around the world so we can all eat an avocado a day. And that's a problem.
But actually, there's places in the UK that are hot enough to grow avocados. Yeah. We just don't. Do that better, UK. What else can we do? We can make materials ourselves. So if you want to recycle paper at home, you can, of course, do that. You just need to get a kit or borrow a kit or make one yourself. You can also look at how things were done in the past to be more economical and sustainable. For example, the graphic markers that I use when I draw are refillable, just like the old days. And that is a more economical way of using kind of specific materials that you wouldn't necessarily be able to get off recycle. And then when you are finished with your materials, then you can start looking at how much you're recycling them. So repeat the steps above. Can you donate them to somebody? Will your disused treasure become somebody else's new treasure? Can you remake from your waste? And can you recycle every part of the item? And that is something else that I know that you've done in the past. You've had a marker collection.
Yeah, so I have a recycle box. So if anyone sees me out and about, you can give me your plastic pens and they will all be completely recycled back into pens.
Oh, that's nice. So all the pens, do you mean like felt tip pens, any kind of pens that run out?
Felt tip, yeah, your biros, anything that's plastic that's a pen, give it to me and I can get it recycled for you.
That's exciting. Yeah. I have lots of those. I go through a lot of pens in my house. I do like pens. Pens are my friends. But I've been watching quite a few of those sort of TikTok and Instagram videos of people who are collecting, like, you know, glass artists who kind of take the kind of the shards of glass and kind of end up with a bowl which has just got lots of different bits of colours in, and then putting it together in a tile, in a kind of glass tile with plain glass, making a kind of a new tile or making a new piece of glass, and then other somebody else might want to use that piece of glass. So that kind of whole idea of even the smallest bits that you can, you know, pull together and make something new with, it's a nice way of upcycling your own kind of waste product, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah.
Do you manage to use, when you're making your stuff, do you manage to reuse or think of, like, because you sort of have to be a bit planned about it, don't you? When you've got all your kind of bits of your end bits that you don't want anymore, you've kind of got to think of a project for them.
Yes. So all of the book paper that I don't use, and the majority of it will go back into the books, the notebooks, but the paper that doesn't go in, if it's a particularly thick book, I save that and then I turn them into craft kits. Mm-hmm. I also run workshops. So they are, there's no waste. I mean, you will get some of the off-cut waste where you're cutting the paper and things like that. Mm-hmm. But then that's paper waste that can go into your recycling. So it's all, you know, nothing gets wasted, basically.
That's really great. So shall we talk a bit more about you and your work then? Let's talk about, because we've kind of set the scene of being more recycle and upcyclable, but let's have a little bit more about where your interest in all of this came from. And is it always been part of your kind of, as your practices developed, has sustainability been there from the very beginning?
Yeah, I think, you know, go back to the old Blue Peter days and we're recycling tin cans, you know, and things and raising money for charity. But I've always been passionate about our environment. I've loved going, you know, in my spare time I'll go for walks, always have when I was younger. I lived opposite a forest, you know, so getting outside and caring for your environment is really important to me. So I think that's something that's always been there. I studied environmental science at college and then at university, as well as archaeology. And so you start to really think about, you know, your surroundings, what's around you. And then when you see it filled with litter, as I do now, and it just seems to be getting worse, unfortunately, mm-hmm. than better, even though we know, I'll do the occasional litter pick, you know, because it does bother me. So it's nice to be able to be in a job where I can, or have a job that I've created that helps prevent waste.
I saw a really nice litter pick in Brighton once, where they had on Brighton Beach, and they have this kind of organised litter pick that happens quite often. And you go down there and you get your litter bags and your pickers, and then you get your headphones, and then it's litter pick silent disco party on the beach. So as you're kind of having silent disco on the beach, you're picking up the litter, but you're picking up the litter and dancing at the same time, which I thought was really nice.
I have to say, the first time I did it, I was actually a little bit scared, like, what if somebody says something? And then I was like, what are they gonna say? Like, they can't tell me off for doing this, you know. But actually, speaking to some of the other ladies at RWY, they were actually really nervous about doing it as well. So it's a funny, isn't it, like, mindset that you've got. Yeah. Of course, once you start doing it, it's really good exercise as well.
I know a couple of my friends in sort of dog walking circles, you know, going out for a walk with your dog, just taking a bag with you and picking up the litter as you're going for a walk with your dog. And you know, one of my friends has kind of done quite that a few times, and just around the sort of Worley area where I live, like, you know, the amount of rubbish that you can bring back from a dog walking trip, which is, you know.
And what's frightening is most of it is probably recyclable, or was, yeah, before it got, you know, in a, yeah, deteriorated state.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us a bit more about, so you've talked, your interest in sustainability, but where does, and your interest in the environment and archaeology, where does the kind of arts and crafts bit fit in? So where does, tell us about your background of how you got into that.
So my mum is a watercolour artist, my dad was a carpenter, so I think it's just in my blood. And I only found out like 6 months ago that actually bookbinding is in my family and goes back like way into the Victorian period. So,
oh, wow,
that's really interesting, but that's just a fluke. but yeah, so I've always been creative, always loved working with my hands. So my sister's very much, she does like cartoons, and all our family's very creative. My brother likes to make little models, and I was very much into clay and painting, all sorts, modelling, and fond memories of going, you know, at school and going, there's the junk box, go make something. Mm. Back in the days when toilet rolls were allowed in the craft box. But yeah, it's, I loved it, loved it, loved that, being able to be creative. And once I got my degree, I worked in museums because I'd got an archaeology degree and I loved it. I loved history, but I didn't really like worms. And so digging up soil, it wasn't for me. Stay in the warm, work with the collections. And so museums was great. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me to be creative as well with the displays, plus my passion for history. It all tied in. Eventually, I worked at the Essex Police Museum in Chelmsford, and it was quite a niche, or still is, a niche museum. It's quite small. So to attract people, I would run lots of craft workshops to get them in the school holidays, and that was really good.
Mm. Yeah, I love those niche museums, though. I think there's something really fascinating about particularly municipal museums that have a really specific focus or a specific angle that they're looking at. And some of the collections, that's one of the things, isn't it, unless you go in those spaces, there are the most amazing things that you can find in those places.
Definitely. And most museums are free.
Yeah, exactly. What was one of the most kind of treasured possessions in the Essex Police Museum?
Well, we did have a death mask, just bringing the tone down a bit, but it was pretty special. And we also had Jacko, the stuffed dog from the Moat Farm murder. But they were the things that drew people in.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've been listening to this podcast with Lucy Worsley on Lady Killers. And she has lots of different historians that she works with in the different episodes. And then they, wherever they are, whatever the story is, they bring in different experts. And they in a recent one, they were, it's all about Victorian murderesses. And they went to the Thames Valley Police Museum because they were looking at a murderer who, I can't remember what it's called now. It was basically a kind of an accepted thing that happened in the Victorian period, where either you were a family had too many children, they couldn't feed all their children, or it was about illegitimacy. And because there was a law that had been brought in halfway through the Victorian period that actually put the responsibility of the cost of the baby onto the mother away from the father, then it left women in this worst state of, you know, if they did have children, they had to find the resource. It wasn't the father's responsibility anymore. So there was lots of accepted sort of underground awful things that happened to children that were given to another woman to look after the child. And there was one very quite famous case of a woman who took in these babies and killed them. And it was a horrific crime that she did over, you know, quite a long period of time, and multiple children, multiple babies. And in the Thames Valley Police Museum, they had recovered some of the bodies from this particular part of the Thames, and some of the things that the bodies had been buried. And obviously the bodies of the children had been interred properly, but what they'd been covered in, or what they'd been kind of found in, so carpet bags and, you know, newspaper, like one of the reasons they found her was the evidence that they had nestled in the museum collection, which was the newspaper that the baby had been wrapped up in. And they were able to find this woman from the fact that there was writing on the newspaper that and a letter and something else that identified her. So, but you know, it's absolutely horrific. But at the same time, those museum collections have got all this incredible history.
They have. And I think with the police museum, there was lots of ways, like the artist impression drawings that we had. We did fingerprint art. So there was lots of ways of connecting the police side of things, but also with art. And I actually created an arts award programme at the bronze level, which I run three times round. And people were fascinated, you know, photography. And I was able to have volunteers who were ex-police photographers who would come in and work with the kids. It was brilliant. It was really fascinating.
So from there, then leaving the museum behind, then what did you do?
Yes, so I was at the museum for 12 years, but 6 years in there was a threat of redundancy. Fortunately, I was able to keep my job through fundraising. But in a panic, I thought, oh, I need a backup plan. So Retro from Scratch was born. I didn't know it was going to be notebooks at the time, but I thought I'll keep it, you know, just use any old name, the Retro from Scratch. That keeps it, you know, me options open. And then the notebooks picked up. And over time, I got to the point where it was like, I can't do both of these. I've got to give the notebooks a go as a full-time job. So
amazing. So tell me how it works then. You mentioned most artists do multiple things, don't they? They don't just have a product that they make and sell. They also run workshops and have also all sorts of other things going. So what does your kind of, you know, your average week look like? We're not going to do the Greg Wallace on you here, but what does your average week look like in terms of the different kinds of things that you do as an artist?
So today I've been filming my Rose craft kit video for online workshop. So you can get craft kits from me, and I also run them as in-person workshops. My next one's coming up at Merrymead Tea Room in Brentwood, and that's quilling. So I've just been filming a reel for that as well. So a lot of my day is spent actually creating content for social media. But obviously in between, it's making notebooks. So finding the books, which I really enjoy, mostly in charity shops, I have to admit. And that's great because then charities benefit from it as well.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, the majority of my work is making the notebooks, running the workshops, and then promoting them.
Yeah. And do you do a lot of that from home? Have you got a sort of space at home, or do you have to, when you do your workshops, could you just work with different partners too?
So workshops are external, mm-hmm. unless it's obviously online, and then everything else is at home.
Mm. And were you starting to do this before COVID? So is this something that you've developed since then or before then?
Yeah, so since 2011 I started business. Okay. And then I started doing the craft kits just before we knew what COVID was. Mm-hmm. But of course it was quite successful because obviously I hadn't anticipated that everybody would be at home not knowing what to do with themselves. So the craft kits really took off, which was brilliant. And what a great way to use up all this paper and teach people new skills, which is the other thing that I enjoy. And what I missed when I left museums is I did a lot of teaching. We had schools come in, we had the other craft workshops, and I did actually really miss that, just making notebooks. So that's nice to do that again.
Cool. We're going to have a little bit of music and going to do some events as well in a second. So we'll be back in a minute.
Try hard to make the world bright today.
The world bright today.
Try hard. stories of Johnny. But people, they don't really listen. Their smiles are the keys to the prison. I call on the angels to hold my head softly. They'll always remember stories of Johnny.
FM's Events Guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
So let's tell you some of the events that are happening over the next few weeks. Of course, every Monday night you can get on the stage yourself as part of the Phoenix FM Open Mic Night. That's at the Essex Arms on Whalley Hill, hosted by the one and only Kev Piggott from 8pm till 10. And all the tracks are recorded and you may get to be played on his show on a Sunday morning. More details, go to the Facebook group and look up Phoenix FM Open Mic Night. What else is going on? So on Monday the 19th of February in Billericay, you can hear about Travels to Argentina. This is a talk by Dr. Richard Rolfe, chairman of the BCCS Chelmsford Ranch, hosted by the Billericay Horticultural Society. It's from 8 till 10pm, £3 each. Visitors are welcome and refreshments are available. And you can find that out on www.billericay-horticulturalsociety.co.uk. Also on the 19th of February is the New Orleans Jazz Cafe with the Big Easy Five at the Fold Arts Centre in Langdon Road, Billericay. It's a free jazz cafe session. Coffee, tea and biscuits available, and check out their Facebook group. So look for New Orleans Jazz Cafe with the Big Easy Five. On Friday the 1st of March is a comedy night in Billericay Town Football Club at the New Lodge in Bluntswall Road in Billericay. Performances from Mike McLean, James Ellis and Prakash Juradan, hosted by Mad Addington. Showtime at 8pm, tickets are £15 each, and more details are on Eventbrite, so look up for that comedy at the football club, tickets on Eventbrite. And finally, on Tuesday the 5th of March, it's the Hutton U3A, University of the Third Age Open Morning, and that's in Rayleigh Road in Brentwood. And that is from, oh, I don't know, that's from 9:30 till 12:30 on Tuesday the 5th of March. And that was your events.
Phoenix FM's Events Guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Visit us at 1 Cotfold Road, Brentwood, or call on 01277 222269. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
Phoenix FM.
Right, we're back in the studio again, and we've just been hearing all about Becky's business, which has been going like to store. I mean, you had the most amazing thing ready for COVID, and then obviously, you know, you took off with everybody wanting to do things at home. What's it been like since then for you in terms of kind of moving the business forward? Are you able to still grow and sort of stretch what you're doing? Is it still kind of working well?
Yeah, I think after COVID, the world went back to normal in a way, and then the craft kits weren't needed so much, but there was a need for people to get together. So that's where I've been focusing on workshops in person and really getting out and about. So I've also been focusing on getting my books in different places. So not only on the website you can order, but you can also get them from the Chicken and Frog Bookshop in Brentwood and Love Local in Copford. So, that's my focus, is to kind of, you know, reach out to people and try and, you know, let people see what I'm doing, what I'm up to.
So the thing that you've got coming up next is, just remind us again of the details of the quilling workshop.
Quilling. So we're going to be using book paper and a spaghetti maker to do quilling. And we're going to make quilled hearts. And they come on a little easel and I'll take you step by step. And it's just a really lovely experience because Merry Me Tea Room is such a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's lovely.
We sit in the old library and there's a lovely view out the window and you can have tea and cake and it's just lovely. So, yeah, I've still got a few spaces left on that one. That's Thursday, February 22nd.
It's such a lovely space, isn't it? It really is. I've been there a few times and done a few things there. And obviously it's part of the art trail. They use Merrymead a lot, don't they, as well? And
yeah, so I did a few... I've done some workshops for the art trail over the years. And last year I was doing iris paper folding at Merrymead. So, yeah.
Nice. One of the questions that we always like to ask everybody that comes on the show is... At one point, we keep saying that we're going to do this. We're going to take all of these from every single interview that we've ever done and compile them into one whole episode. But we always ask people to think back about... you know, the advice that they would give their 18-year-old self, because there's so much that you learn across your life and in your career. And oftentimes, you know, it's not about regret or it's not about wanting to kind of go backwards and change things. But it is sometimes about wanting to kind of pass some of that advice forward. So, but we ask you from the means of, if you came across your 18-year-old self walking up Brentwood High Street, what would you say to her?
I always find this question so difficult. But I think just keep doing what you're doing and not, like, don't pay attention to the negative people, the people that are telling you not to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And I've pretty much stuck to that. But I think there have been times when I've probably held back. So I think, you know, that's where I would...
That's really good advice, because I think there's so much in ourselves, isn't there? We can hold ourselves back all the time, but actually, you know, if we let other people hold ourselves back, then, you know, that's kind of two lots of... I always think, you know, there's enough pressure that you put on yourself that just not listening to other people's negativity is hard. But I think if you can manage to find a way through that...
Definitely, yeah.
Keep going. Well done, Becky. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to have a little bit more music and continuing with our book theme. We haven't been telling you about some of the tracks, but this is from a film. It's a song from the film, the same name. You'll know it. The Neverending Story, which was originally a German fantasy novel written by Michael Ende, published in 1979. And the first English translation was by Ralph Mannheim, which was published in 1983, which then was later adapted for the original 1984 film. But did you know that there was also two sequels to The Neverending Story? I didn't. Apparently, the book covers the first two films, and then the third film was a brand new story. Anyway, I might have to watch the sequels. But here, of course, is Lamal with Neverending Story.
Make believe.
Phoenix FM.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
The directors and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
Want to get the home improvements you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank? Thanks to SEHBAC, you can now transform your home for less. We're offering up to 40% off our extensive range of high-quality windows, doors, conservatories and extensions. Plus, 2 years interest-free finance available. Get the inspiration you need and breathe new life into your home at a price you can afford by visiting your nearest SEHBAC showroom or SEHBAC.com. Terms and conditions apply.
The team at St. Francis Hospice are challenging you to get outdoors and make a difference by taking on the Walk 100 Challenge. Simply walk 100K in March, in your own time and at your own pace. All in aid of your local hospice. Visit the St. Francis Hospice Facebook page. You can find all the details you need and sign up for the Walk 100 Challenge.
At the Mortgage Specialists, we offer whole-of-market mortgage advice. We pride ourselves on keeping things personal, ensuring the advice you receive is perfect for your situation. With over 25 years' experience, we offer our clients clear, independent advice delivered in a professional way. Whether you're moving, looking to renew your mortgage, or maybe looking to invest in buy-to-let, call us now on Brentwood 222932 to speak with us today. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
Phoenix FM.
Sorry.
Too soon. Mix up. That was fun. Anyway, it's nearly time to go. So we have one last shout out of an event that we promised Debbie Basin that we would shout out. It is the Menopause Party.
Oh, yes.
Pub landlady Dolly Slateman, which is on at the Brentwood Theatre this month on 23rd of February at 7:30. The tickets cost £13. Dolly Slateman, the working woman's pub landlady, alias of real-life Essex pub landlady Debbie Basin, brings the Menopause Party to the masses. It's directed by Chris Head, and this taboo-smashing show of character comedy, sing-song, spoken word, and Dolly's arty expressions will have you laughing and learning. It's edutainment. It's an edutainment piece, so expect to pick up some knowledge on the phenomenon of the menopause. It does contain adult content, and there are aspects of this event which might be unsuitable for all ages, and therefore parental guidance is advised. So if you want to book tickets to that, they cost just £13, and you can pick them up at the Brentwood Theatre website.
Cool.
But a huge thank you to Becky for sharing her thing.
Thank you, Becky.
Her love
thank
of all things books and sustainability. If you want to... Just moving the microphone.
You can find me on Instagram at Retro From Scratch.
Perfect. Thanks all we've got time for now, and it's we'll leave you with Nigel for our in-house soul and funk DJ to guarantee you and get you moving on Sunday night. But we're going to leave you with Love Story from Taylor Swift. That's all for now. I've been Claire.
And I've been Natalie, and this has been the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
on the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.